The great escape from a maximum security prison in northern New York State does not have an ending, but the story so far is as rich as a dime novel. A pair of convicted murderer fugitives on the run for more than a week, a married prison employee in a romantic sexual relationship with at least one of the inmates who helped the inmates acquire power tools and reportedly promised to drive their getaway vehicle before she panicked and backed out. But the alleged relationship between prison employee Joyce Mitchell and the prisoners Richard Matt and David Sweat is a crime. The sex for power tools angle may be unusual, but relationships in prison facilities are always illegal. They're also quite common. In correctional facilities, the law does not recognize the idea of consenting adults. According to a Justice Department survey, members of correctional staff are considered perpetrators in at least half of all cases of sexual abuse in prisons and jails. But it's rare they are ever prosecuted for these crimes. A new investigation by the Marshall Project looked into the rates of sexual assault by prison employees and found some very explicit evidence of these sex-for-drugs or sex-for-help-breaking-out relationships. This story includes a recording of a conversation between two prisoners that might not be appropriate for young listeners. Alicia Santo is a staff writer with the Marshall Project and helped us understand the investigation.
There is no such thing as consensual sex in correctional institutions between staff and inmates. So that is always considered against the law. Regardless, even if it is against the law, consent comes into play when these crimes are looked into. It runs the whole gamut of very coerced sexual situations to seemingly romantic relationships to forced abusive sexual relationships. And it is very difficult to see who is manipulating who. And that's why the law has just been laid out as a blanket. There is no such thing as consent. Staff, you cannot use that as a defense.
So any employee in a prison, male or female, understands that if they have a relationship with an inmate, they're committing a crime.
Yes. The reason it's never a defense that the person just wanted to is because oftentimes there is an exchange going on. And because of the inherent power imbalance that exists, it's just like protections for young people or disabled people. They can't consent given the power imbalance. But what is confusing, particularly in the situations that involve women, is that it's often seen, even though under the law, the inmate is supposed to be seen as the victim in the sexual relationship. Often prosecutors and those investigating the crimes will see the woman staff member as being the one that was manipulated in the situation.
By the inmate. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But how are the statistics different in male prisons versus female prisons?
So what's really interesting is that women prisoners are disproportionately the victims of staff sexual misconduct. So women make up 7% of all inmates, and they make up 33%
wow.
of all the victims of staff sexual misconduct. Now, juxtaposed with that, women are actually also the majority of perpetrators in sexual misconduct cases. So women perpetrate over half of the staff sexual misconduct in this country because there's more and more women entering the correctional field. And then you just have to look at the fact that the majority of prisoners are male. But I think another interesting point to make is that if women are going to be looked at as equally in all other aspects, then it seems inappropriate to treat them differently under the law, even if we do have different feelings about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is that women are not prosecuted that aggressively. The outcomes are often probation. And I don't know that that's really sending a message that this is not allowed under any circumstances.
All right, let's listen to this audio. Can you put this in context? How did you obtain this? I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff here.
So this was a long process of lots of records requests. So Texas has a special unit that only prosecutes crimes that occur in prison, which is unique to Texas. So just making a records request for the files of 10 different staff members that had been prosecuted. This came in one of the files, this audio.
And this is authorities in Texas wiring a room or somehow recording a conversation between an inmate and a nurse.
Yeah, so what happened was this inmate had repeatedly told correctional staff that he was being propositioned by a nurse and that the nurse was offering him and providing him with prescription medications and asking for sex in exchange. So eventually the staff wired this inmate and said, basically, go out and prove it. And within a half an hour, this is what happened.
Which ones you got? Are these the blue ones? Yeah, it's. I do. I'm gonna waste those out of somebody's stock.
Okay.
They're 100 milligrams.
They're WBs?
Yes.
What's the difference between these and the peach ones?
75 milligrams.
75 milligrams.
Don't you tell any of those guys.
Come on,
I'm not. Not even the Spanish guys do, because I know they're going to ask.
They've been stalking. Look, what is it that you want me to do?
What do you want?
I mean, oral sex?
Yeah. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool. Now let me can you stay in there for a minute?
This is the best time.
I know. Listen, let me go get put on count before they call it. That way I can beat them to the punch. I'll be right back. Just give me 2 minutes.
In this case here, the nurse is male and the inmate is male.
Yes.
And how was this prosecuted?
So that nurse was prosecuted for both sexual act, which occurred later in the tape, and for offering the drugs. He pled guilty and received a $500 fine and 4 years on a type of probation that's called deferred adjudication, which means if in 4 years after he completes his court requirements, those charges will no longer be on his criminal record.
How vulnerable are prisons if these kinds of relationships occur? Can we see what happened up in northern New York happening elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you see it in Baltimore. I mean, you see the case of all these different guards that were with that one inmate in the Baltimore jail, and they were aides in the smuggling operation. A lot of these cases often come along with charges of contraband because that's part of the exchange that is occurring. And, I mean, what you see in the case at the Clinton Correctional Facility upstate is where the contraband being exchanged was perhaps power tools. And so that, you know, that brings it obviously to a different level. But when you have people exchanging drugs or even tobacco for sex, that's why these things are considered illegal, because that's not seen as a consensual exchange.
So the element of the power tools and the particular methodology of escape might make this more ingenious, but the dynamics are the same as what you're seeing everywhere else.
That's right.
Alicia Santo is staff writer at the Marshall Project. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving. With brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program, performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And Curious.com, committed to helping people learn more than 15,000 skills like Mandarin, mobile app development, and mindfulness. Curious.com. Grow your skills. Learn more at curious.com/PRI.